Welcome to Tip TV Finance, where I'm joined by Jeremy Stretch, head of G10 FX at CIBC. How are you today, Jeremy?
Very well, thanks, Zach.
Right, I'm going to start off with a basic question, somebody of my intellect. What's the relationship between the pound and, let's say, household or consumer debt? Is there one?
I wouldn't say there's a direct causal relationship, but clearly I think in most, not just in the UK, but I think in most Western developed markets, I think investors are increasingly mindful of the degree of consumer leverage, and the greater that degree of leverage, the greater the uncertainty that brings, particularly in an environment where we're moving away progressively from ultra-low interest rates, and we're starting to see a number of central banks, not just the Federal Reserve, talking about monetary tightening. So that degree of leverage does create instabilities for the UK and some of the other Anglo-Saxon markets in general.
And is, I mean, like yesterday we had Mark Carney's talking about, there's no interest rate rise needed or is not going to happen. Is that him just trying to get the pound down so that it makes, UK real estate look more attractive to foreign buyers and, we just keep the merry-go-round going on a bit longer?
I think he might be a little overblown in that particular context. I think what he's trying to say is that after the surprising vote from three members of the MPC to argue for an immediate rate hike at the most recent meeting, he's suggesting that the inherent risks in the UK economy are still remarkably large, not least of which, of course, is how the consumer deals with the continued impact of higher prices, because, of course, we haven't reached the peak in this UK inflation cycle, which is a function of the slide in sterling after the Brexit vote last year. So we still have those uncertainties. And, of course, we have the business-related uncertainties as the Brexit negotiations move on inexorably and the ongoing issues on the trade side. So for the Bank of England's perspective, or at least for Mark Carney's perspective, he views the bank as being able to look through this current inflationary spike and just want to maintain a degree of monetary policy easiness in order to preclude downside risks playing out in the economy.
So where do you think that Mr. Carney and friends would like the pound to be?
Well, of course, they would always argue they don't have an explicit exchange rate target, as do most central banks. But ultimately, of course, if they were wary of inflationary pressures, then they wouldn't necessarily want to see sterling depreciate significantly. So I think that's one variable that you shouldn't necessarily ignore. And of course, when we have commodity prices denominated in dollars, if we were to see sterling falling back into the low 120s against the US dollar, then of course that just amplifies those inflationary pressures. So I think it's very much a balancing act. Yes, Ben Broadbent, the deputy governor, has talked about UK exporters being in something of a sweet spot. Well, yes, you could say that, but I think that the bank wouldn't necessarily be keen to encourage that sweet spot to get a little larger in the short term for fear of the potential inflationary consequences.
And, I mean, are you surprised that the pound is where it is? I mean, actually, still, say 126 or 88.20 against the euro. I mean, is that weaker or stronger than you would have imagined, if somebody told you where we are now, which is basically almost without a government?
Well, that's true. And in a sense, going into the election, I did make some assumptions that if there were to be a hung parliament, which wasn't the most likely scenario, it appeared on the basis of the opinion polls, but if there were to be a hung parliament, I thought we could easily see cable trading at 124, for example. Now, we haven't got there yet. That's not to say that we won't in the nearer term, because, of course, if we were to get the Queen's speech voted down, for example, in a week or so's time, then that sort of scenario will play out. But I think there is still inherent downside risks as far as sterling is concerned. So 123, 124, I think, is perfectly feasible. And a squeeze up towards 90 in euro sterling, again, eminently likely.
So the market's basically saying we don't believe there's any chance that Theresa May or the Labour Party can't getting into power. So therefore, we're pricing cable at this, or sterling at these areas, which are bad but not out of the water.
Well, in a sense, yes. I mean, if we go back to April when the election was called, we saw sterling obviously rallying and short positions being paired aggressively because markets were hoping we were going to get some degree of political stability and we perhaps could compromise some of the worst ravages of the Brexit process. We're now in a scenario where that political uncertainty is amplified significantly, but not to such a degree that markets are necessarily pricing in the risks of another election yet. But I think it's kind of interesting that as we go into the Queen's speech that today we'll see the Queen not in her full normal regalia for the state opening, first time since 1974, and of course that was the last time when we had two elections in one calendar year, so perhaps there's a little bit of a portent from history there.
Well, I'm in my full regalia today, as you can see, but moving further away from the UK, what about the dollar in the wake of the latest interest rate rise? Is the market saying that that's it? until December?
Well, if you look at the way that 10-year yields have continued to remain nearer the lows of the year, then that would argue that markets are assuming that growth is going to stall or certainly stagnate, and there isn't going to be signs of inflationary pressure. So in a sense, the the long end is suggesting that the Federal Reserve aren't going to be ramping up the sort of the momentum. And so in a sense, I think it's going to be a case of we need to see either better data or we need to see a greater presumption of some of that fiscal easing that was long hoped for at the beginning of the year starts to come through from the Trump administration. Absent either of those, then it may well be the case that the dollar's value is pretty fully valued, and it is going to be the case that over the medium run, the US dollar is likely to reverse lower, which of course is good news for US exporters. But if we do see a realization that perhaps September is still on the table, for example, which is our base case view, then we may just get a little bit of a lift of for the dollar across the summer, but I wouldn't necessarily want to extend that view over the longer run.
But isn't there the horror, the nightmare scenario that President Trump won't be able to do anything in terms of the stimulus or the tax, and the rate rises which were supposed to accompany that, maybe even balance them out, are just there on their own?
Well, that of course would be a question mark, and in a sense, I think if you take a rather relaxed view of the propensity of Trump to be able to push things through, then you're left with the scenario of, well, what's the US economy going to be doing? Well, it's going to be growing at somewhere between 2 to 2.5% over the course of the next couple of years. Is that a brilliant sort of growth scenario? No, it isn't. But then again, the labor market is pretty tight. If you listen to some of the rhetoric from Yellen and Dudley, et cetera, they still seem to believe that the Phillips curve works, that the fall in the unemployment rate will eventually lead to higher wages. Now, the jury is a little bit out on that one, and it may well be the case that the parameters have changed. But if there is going to be a case that we see some degree of inflationary pressure coming through from wages at some stage in the future, that will provide some self-sustaining impetus for the economy, but also will allow the Federal Reserve to moderately tighten policy. But Fed funds aren't going to be 2% this side of 2019. So it's a case of remembering to put something in, putting US rates in context.
Jeremy Stretch, head of G10FX at CIBC. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. Today.